There are a lot of people that woke up this morning that are not here with us right now. A lot of people that had bright ideas and had optimism about the day that got up but didn't make it to the 3 o'clock hour. But if you're here, it's because God kept you.
Amen.
And allowed you to be back in this house. There's some people that got in their car on their way to worship and didn't make it in this world today. There's some people that just had, you know, was in the right mind, doing what they thought would be right, but they didn't make it this long.
Right.
So every now and then we have to be real when we bless God and thank God and just say, Lord, if I don't thank you for anything, I thank you for keeping me.
Yes, sir.
Keeping me long enough to be back in this place to breathe another minute, breathe another breath. Right. And I'm just happy about that. Because life is short, and life can be rough. But every day that God protects me, I'm just happy more than anything that he keeps me.
Amen. Yes, sir.
So I'm happy to be back in the house of the Lord. And we studied on this morning the second message on the message in the miracles, or the message in the miracles. A couple weeks ago, we studied the wedding of Cana. And then this morning we studied when Jesus fed the 5,000. And we're going to continue with Jesus' message through his miracles. If you would, I was studying when I got home today and was going back and forth, you know, on which gospel I wanted to use. Did I want to stay in John 6 and talk about the message? I mean, about Jesus walking on water. Did I want to go into Matthew? Or did I want to deal with Mark? I couldn't figure out which one I want to do, but I decided on Mark.
Okay.
Just for one reason. One line in Mark is different than the others that I think it's important for us to really grab a hold to. So if you would, turn your books, your Bibles to Mark, the 6th chapter, in the 47th verse. Thank you for our brothers who led worship up until this point. Mark, the 6th chapter. 45th verse, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of them to the other side of Bethesda, while he himself was sending the crowd away. After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Seeing them stranding on the oars, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Is that in your Bible?
Amen.
We're going to continue along in our study in the messages and the miracles. As we stated this morning, the miracles are designed so that we will believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But in every message, every miracle that we see, God also leaves us some practical, I believe, some practical nuggets that we can utilize in our daily lives. So today, we just want to keep, this will be our third installment of the messages that are in the miracles. Now, the first thing is, it says, when immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of them to the other side of Bethesda, while he himself was sending the crowd away. Now, I need you to understand, remember we studied this morning, if you go to John 6, we studied that Jesus, after he fed the multitude, moved pretty quickly away from the crowd. And you remember why he moved away from the crowd, because he was worried that they were going to force him into, or try to make him king by force. Right. So we see this immediately. And that's the reason why it's important to study the Bible as a whole, because you are able to put some things together when you study things as a whole. So you see, when he says immediately, he sent the disciples to the boat. Well, we know from John 6, the reason why he moved so fast is because he didn't want to be a part of being made into a king by force, right? So here we go. Immediately Jesus sends them to the boat and tells them, you'll go on over to the other side. Now I need you to understand that when Jesus sent them to the other side, that was, in essence, it was a promise. Now listen to me. It was a promise that if Jesus sent them to the other side, then they was going to make it. They were going to make it. Now remember that. Keep that in mind. Anytime God sends you or says that you need to do something, you can guarantee, bet your bottom dollar on it, that if he said to do it, then it's going to be successful. Now, it might not look the way that you want it to look, but it will always be successful, and it'll always be aligned to what Jesus wants to happen or what God wants to happen. All right, so the Bible says he sent them to the other side while he continued to get rid of the crowd or say his farewell, and then he went to the mountains to pray. And then the Bible says when it was evening, they were in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Seeing them stranded with the oars, for the wind was against them, and about the fourth watch, the night came to them. He came to them in the night, walking on the sea. I want you to write this down as your point. When Jesus was on the mountain praying. Now, if you know anything about the geographical area that where he's working, Jesus, if we to show this, Jesus at the mountain, they're down on the sea. Now, you realize that the mountain, just because it's a mountain, it means that it is above sea level. Y'all got it? Which means that Jesus is not directly with them, but he can see them. Here's where you see the power. It's dark. See, that's what y'all say, yes, Lord. It's dark. Jesus is not directly with them, but he can see them. Here's your point. Point number one. Jesus sees you even in darkness. I need you to understand that. Jesus is not directly with them. He is on the mountain, probably hundreds of yards away. They're in the middle of the ocean. And Jesus is able to see them from where he sits in the middle of the ocean in darkness. I need you to understand now that Jesus always sees us regardless of what situation that we're in. Now, but I need you to understand this. It says that it began to get dark and he saw them, but it wasn't until the fourth watch that he came. Jesus sees you, knows what you're going through, but he's only going to come when he decides to come. Sometimes what happens is we fail God because we have decided that he should show up as soon as we enter into our dark place. But sometimes God allows us to be in darkness. He watches how we struggle in darkness, and he comes when he decides or when we need him, even though he's seen us the whole time. Now, how do I know that's right? Because the Bible said it was already evening. The fourth watch means it was about to be morning. So Jesus allowed them to struggle in the middle of the ocean for quite some time before he decided to come and work with them or to come and to walk on the water. I need you to understand this, because if you realize that Jesus always sees you, but he does not always move on your time, then you're able to continue to roll. Continue to do what you need to do in the darkness. Because you are aware that if there ever becomes a time when you can't do it anymore, he gonna show up. See, this week, when you go through some things this week, and as you go through these things, there's gonna be some stuff that happens that is gonna throw you off. I'm telling you, like, y'all looking at me like, how you know? Because that's what every week does. All you gotta do is live a little bit. You're going to have some moments this week where you're going to be a little off kilter. And you are going to expect, because you're struggling a little bit, for God to make a miraculous intervention. And what I'm trying to tell you is just because he has not come yet does not mean he has not seen you. So the Bible says that Jesus came around the fourth watch. This is the one reason why I use Mark. And he says, and he intended to pass them by. Why in the world would Jesus, after watching them from the mountain, see them struggle? Why would he see them struggle, come down at the fourth watch, and in his purpose in coming down, he was still going to pass them by in the middle of their struggle? That just seems like that's cruel, doesn't it? Anybody ever saw that and said, why in the world would the Lord pass them by? Well, let me tell you why. Because he already sent them to the other side. Y'all missed it. The reason why he was able to pass them by is because Jesus had already said, go to the other side. So what does that mean? He knew they was going to make it. Jesus understood that even though you're struggling, even though it's nighttime, even though I've been watching you struggle for some time, I already gave you a task. I already put you in the boat. I already said I'll see you on the other side. So if I did all that, you don't have to worry. It might feel bad. It might not feel good. But I'm going to keep on going to the other side because that's where I said I'm going. That's why I told you I'd meet you. See, sometimes we forget that with every promise God gives is a guarantee. If God say we're going over. We might not enjoy the journey, but we're going over. And the Bible says that Jesus planned on passing them by. And I need you to understand that sometimes Jesus is with you. He's right around. He's right around, but he ain't coming in. The reason why he came into the boat is because they lost faith. Y'all missed that. You say, no, they didn't. No, they didn't. Yes, they did. The Bible says that when they saw him, they said, oh, my goodness, he is a ghost. What they said is, we sure enough in trouble now. The wind is bad. We're in the middle of the ocean. I think John's account says they're about 3 or 4 miles in the middle of the ocean, the wind is bad, and we're struggling, and here we go, now we're starting to see ghosts. It went from bad to worse. So they said, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. And Jesus stepped in the boat, not because they were not going to make it on the other side. He stepped in because he didn't want his people to lose faith. And when they started to lose faith, Jesus said, hold on, it's me. Be of good courage. Here I am. And he got in the boat. And the Bible says, when he got in the boat, the wind stopped. Oh, my goodness, listen. God sees you in your darkest hours. He comes when he's ready to come. When he comes, sometimes he might just continue to watch. But God will never let his children lose faith. He ain't gonna let you stay out there so long that you forget. He ain't gonna let you lose your faith. God said, okay, wait a minute, my children are losing faith. Now watch this. And he got in the boat. The Bible says that they were astounded. They couldn't believe exactly what happened. But this is the lesson that I want you to understand. Why did they lose faith? Verse 52 says, because they did not understand what happened earlier. They didn't understand the loaves. What I'm telling you is, if you don't pay attention to what God has already done, you won't have the faith to sustain you for what he's going to do. The Bible says they lost faith. Lord, get in the boat with us. And then they were astounded. Oh, my God, astounded. How in the world did he just do that? And then it says, well, the reason why they felt that way is because they didn't understand, they didn't get the lesson, they didn't pay attention when he had just fed the 20,000. In order for you to walk with God consistently, you better recognize what he's doing in your life every day, because the things that he's done, he's doing in your life on the high times are going to be the things that will give you the strength to make it through the low time. All of that Jesus had done earlier today, fed 25,000 people, 25,000 people with five crackers and two pickled fish, and they missed all of it. They didn't understand what was going on. They missed all of the stuff that was going on in that good time. And it was that power that they had to recognize in the good time that would have given them the strength to be able to get on that boat and not have a care in the world, because they already knew that God was going to work it out. God will see you in darkness. God will come when he needs to. He'll get on the boat before he lets you lose faith. But there's an assignment for you. You better recognize what God is doing now. Give him glory for what he's doing now. Because the miracle that he's producing in your life right now, while you happy, it's the same miracle. It's a miracle you're going to need when you go through your dark times. Amen. Give God credit when you're on the high. Mm-hmm. You know, we like to, we don't, when we get on a high time, we always want to say it was us. I got a promotion. Oh, boy, I've been working so hard. I'm here 45, 60 hours a week. It's the reason why I'm able to do what I'm able to do is because I've just been doing so much work. No. Recognize that was God then. So I got honored I had the honor of being in the paper this past week. It's a great honor. My superintendent of school, assistant superintendent of school, said, called me and said, Doc, I see you doing it over there. You know, I'm doing it over there. And I was sitting there and I was like, yeah, thank you. Yeah, Doc, you ought to be excited. Your work is really coming through, blah, 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 blah. And I responded to her, and I said, no, God is using me. Amen. And she said, oh, Doc, you don't have to be that humble. I said, I'm just being honest. Because if I don't give God credit when I'm on a high time, when I'm low, I won't know what God is able to do. You better recognize God when he's doing, when he's taking your little bit and making it more. Because when you get in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the darkness, and you can't go any further, and you see somebody, you'll know that God is on his way. You won't worry about losing faith. There's some messages in each one of the miracles. And those messages are designed for you and I. Yeah, the messages are designed so that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we should believe that. But it's also designed to help us in our walk of life. Amen. God sees you. He's going to see you this week when you have some issues. If y'all make it to next Sunday without any issues, amen. 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 You better praise God for it. Amen. But when you have some issues, he sees that. He sees you struggling in the middle of the pushing and not going anywhere. He sees that. He hears you. He's watching you. He knows it's dark. He gonna come when he need to. Don't lose faith. You'll be just fine. Jesus is the Son of God. That's just one example of it. But if we study scripture, we'll see example, evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence. And John says in his book, he said, we just wrote down some of these things so that you will believe. But if it was so much stuff that Jesus did, it wasn't enough paper to write down all of the stuff. And I, you know what? I love that. I love that testimony, because I believe the same thing is true in our life. You know, we find ourselves testifying about things that God has done that we remember, or the things that brought us through when we was in through some difficult. But the truth of the matter is, if we ever decide to just talk about all the evidence that we have that God is in control and God controls us, we ain't got enough paper to write that down. Right. Because every time you write a word, you will have to write again that you was writing the word, because God gave you the strength to write the word that you wrote. You see what I'm saying? So Jesus did a whole lot, but this was just enough to let you know that he is God. If you believe he is God, believe on him with all your heart. Repent of your sins, confess his name, and go down in the water grave of baptism and arise so that you can walk a life that's pleasing and acceptable to him. Maybe you already have done that. You're a Christian, and you just sitting in the middle of the ocean, and you rowing. You just treading water, trying to get to the other side. You about to lose faith. This might be an opportunity for come on up and say, hey, Lord, I need you in the boat. Come on with me. Or maybe you said, you know what, I just need to just repent because God has done so much for me over the last day, week, month, year, and I just ain't giving him credit for the stuff that he's done. And I just need to have a better heart on just recognize that God is God. Mm-hmm. You can do that. You can do it right now as we stand and sing our song of invitation.
From the
oh, hide you in the